This podcast includes graphic depictions of true crime cases and may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, this is Robin.
This is Jackie.
And this is Amanda.
And you are listening to We Saw the Devil, a podcast dedicated to horror, true crime, and all things macabre. If you want to follow us between shows, don't forget to check us out online. You can go to our website at www.wesawthedevil.com. You can follow us on Instagram at We Saw the Devil Podcast or on Twitter at We Saw the Devil. And if you want to follow specific co-hosts' social media, you can find the links to those on our website as well. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of We Saw the Devil. Lori Vallow update time. It is now 5 p.m. on April 22nd, which is a Wednesday. And this is the information we have for you today, up to date.
Yes. As of right now, who knows what's going to happen in 2 hours. But as of this moment.
Right.
So today we released our first episode of the East Area Rapist / Golden State Killer. And we'll continue that as well. But as promised, we are still going to stay up to date with the Vallow case. So we are going to review the information that came out in the last week. And then also a couple hours ago.
Yep. 3 hours ago, to be exact. So we are relatively prompt here.
Yeah, we try.
So before we get into that, big thank you and props to our patrons on our Patreon. We have executive producers Ian, Iris, and Shauna S. And then also thank you so much to our other patrons, Amy, Derek, Michelle, Nikki, and Shauna F. Without you guys, this would not be possible. And we are really excited to do cool things like update our YouTube and get some new equipment and things like that. So thank you very much for your support. If you're curious about our Patreon, you can check it out at patreon.com/WeSellTheDevil.
Yep. And you guys have some goodies in the mail. And then also for the executive producers, you have an extra goodie this month. And then also Robin put a very disparaging post about me today. If you want to listen to that and make fun of me, you're welcome.
That was also a little surprise for Amanda this morning. So I edited our East Area Rapist show, and there was a piece that was just too good to be true. So to make her life a little more miserable this morning, I decided to surprise her with something that I posted on Patreon to, you know, to embarrass her with. So
thanks for that. I can't wait to get you back.
Look forward to it.
Well, now to Vallow. Speaking of embarrassing. Right. We have a couple updates, and then also something that we brought up last week that we found more information on that we wanted to tweak a little. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with that?
Yes. Last week in our show, we discussed the possibility that the Release Lori Vallow Facebook page was run by Emma Daybell's husband, Joseph. Now, for some reason, everyone in every Facebook, Lori Vallow Facebook group kind of jumped on this bandwagon over the last couple weeks. And there was some very compelling proof, I guess, you know, that people offered. His name change, the person who was frequently on the page was Joseph, and then he changed his name multiple times, but didn't untag pictures of himself. So there was some compelling stuff there pointing at him. Well, apparently, after doing a little further digging, it's even more widely accepted that a gentleman named Stacy Norton is likely, I mean, almost 100%, behind the Release Lori Vallow page. The evidence is as follows. He was the very, 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 very first person to post and share the Release Lori Vallow page within minutes of its creation on the same day. He is from West Jordan, Utah. He ran for Congress in 2016 on the platform of not taxing tampons and lowering taxes, especially on motorcycles. He lives in this tiny little, looks like cardboard shack in West Jordan, Utah. And
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. It's great. And overall, the post, right? So Release Lori Vallow uses a certain kind of meme, kind of recycles the same thing over and over again, right? Like monkey brains and like various things. You know, it always calls people ignorant, stupid. It calls Idaho a fascist state. You know, a lot of anti-government and anti-Idaho and Utah language. His personal Facebook page. Now, by the way, he has like 40 of his own Facebook pages. 90% of them are pro-polygamy. Yeah, very much pro-polygamy. But it's a lot of the same language used. Almost all of the same language used. Like word for word. The way he insults people, the memes, and just kind of the tone of his language. Lots of, you know, keywords hit in both places. Likely, it is this man named Stacy Norton. There's no evidence that he has ever personally met Chad or Lori, but he is certainly obsessed with Lori.
Yeah, sounds like it. And, like, why?
Yeah.
There's no proof that, like, links them yet, right?
None. I mean, none as it stands right now. He needs a lesson in some critical thinking and just basic American civic skills, because if someone, you know, with the missing children and whatnot, apparently Lori is just so innocent right now, has done nothing wrong.
It's just a custody battle.
Just custody battle. Because the same language again, from Stacey Norton's personal to the released Lori Vallow, he constantly attacks the Woodcocks, the grandparents. Just wanted to clear that up after doing a little further research. It seems as though Stacey Norton is the culprit behind the release of Lori Vallow. I don't know how that page has gotten over 1,000 likes, but yet, you know, here we are.
Right. Yeah, that, I mean, they have to spread their nonsense somehow, right?
Right. So what's next this week?
Another thing that kind of came out, and it's old news but new to us, is information and emails regarding Charles being locked out of his life insurance policy back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin Lum actually posted on his Facebook page the like copies of the emails, so you could actually read them if you'd like. And the story seems like it started on the 20th of February. And that's, again, 2019. So someone called into the life insurance company and placed a pin on the account. Charles, of course, suspects Lori. Then on the 26th, and I believe that's the day that he had filed for divorce, that's when he found out that the life insurance policy had been hacked. Now, there's a couple different emails that he sent to the life insurance place, and then it looks like he CC'd Kay on some of them, trying to figure it out. So do you want to start with the first one?
As Amanda said, on February 26th, Charles tried to access his Banner life insurance policy and it would not go through. So he wrote them an email and he said, "My name is Charles Vallow and I bought the Banner life policy a few years ago and have the payment drafted for my account ending in, you know, redacted. I spoke with redacted and he could not authenticate the password listed on my account. He said one was placed on February 20th of 2019. And he said, in all caps, it was not by me. I request an investigation as I believe it's my soon-to-be ex-wife who fraudulently placed a password on the account. I want to change the beneficiary to my sister, Ethel Kathleen Woodcock. I have an order of protection against Lori Vallow as she has physically threatened my life in the last 30 days. Please get back to me at my new phone number, redacted." And he gave his old number and gave his address. "Please get with me as soon as possible." So here in his email on February 26th, he writes that Lori Vallow threatened his life within the last 30 days.
Right.
And then Banner Life Insurance emailed him back and said, "Attached, you'll find some forms, notarized for your signature, blah, blah, blah. Send us a letter and information, you know, yada, yada." Right.
And then Charles then wrote back an official letter to the insurance company stating that, again, it was not him that made the change. He asked for a transcript or a recording of the conversation. And then again, he mentions he believes it was his soon to be ex-wife, Lori Vallow. He also included a notarized change of beneficiary form and a change of address.
Yep.
He states again, he states that Kay, Nicholas, or Zachary should have access to the policy, and that is it. I don't know which one was sent first, but that's kind of like the official letter that he sent them. And then that same day, it says at 2:49 p.m., he sends an email, and then it looks like he CCs Kay. So I can't see who the email was sent to. I'm assuming Banner as well.
Yeah, I assume it's redacted as well.
Yeah. But that's where he talks about how he notified the insurance company of, you know, the password change. So in this email, he also states that they're doing an investigation, and I believe he means they will pull the recording. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I will assure you it was Lori, and I will update you on the findings." My question is, did he ever get the findings? I want to know whose voice it was, you know, or
was it Alex pretending to be Charles, or did Lori call in? Did Lori have access? I assume, based on his verbiage, that Lori did not have access to his account.
It sounds like she might have been able to finagle it since they were still like married, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'm curious if it was her that called in or if it was Alex. But then at the end of this email, this is what got me. It says, if anything should happen to me before I get this all fixed, my beneficiary is Ethel Kathleen Woodcock, my sister. She will use it to take care of JJ. I want nothing to go to Lori or any member of her family. Sincerely, Charles Vallow.
So now he'd had some problems.
Well, and then also that he already in his head had it that she will be caring for JJ, not Lori. I think that's interesting. And maybe that does fuel a little bit into the realm of maybe there is some sort of big custody battle before all of this. But I still don't understand. You know, she is the legal guardian. She is the mother because she adopted him. I don't understand how the grandmother would just like be able to get it unless obviously unfit mother. I guess, back then you got to remember too, at one point she left him with Charles and went to Hawaii with Tylee. So like the bond probably just isn't there. I don't know.
And don't forget that she called JJ the drug baby.
Right. Oh yeah. In Rexburg she did.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
So sad.
Yeah. I wish we could find out a little bit more about between this time. You know, that that Charles passed. So remember, he died July 11th, 2019. So a few months after this, a little less than five months after this. And just, yeah, that's when everything kind of went crazy. So, I mean, in this email, it says that Kay would have JJ.
And I love seeing some of the photos that come out that the Woodcocks have shared of them and JJ. They have spent a considerable amount of time with JJ, going on trips and doing things, right. And it's really
sweet. So cute. I think it's one of them like singing or something, and that was adorable.
I know.
So you could tell that they had a very good bond. So hopefully he's still alive somewhere and that she'll be able to take him. I have to hold on to that little hope.
There's very little hope in this case as a whole.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's terrible. Well, hopefully she's losing out on hope, too, because her hearing has been moved again.
Yep.
So her bond reduction hearing was supposed to be Friday, April 24th, and it has been moved to May 1st at 2 p.m.
If the Rona doesn't get her first, maybe we will eventually get to a trial. But
could you imagine, though?
God, and then we would never know anything.
I know. Oh, my gosh. No, like she needs to pay for this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of prisons are taking coronavirus precautions and, you know, allowing for nonviolent offenders, allowing them to go home on parole temporarily, you know, different things. But the jail that Lori Vallow is being held in says that they will not make any special accommodations for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, rightly so. Well, I mean, now she has to stay in there another week?
Yep.
For them, hopefully, to just say no again.
Right. Here's hoping.
And something, too, that Justin Lem had mentioned on his Facebook, we had talked about it last week about how the Attorney General's investigation of Lori and Chad, again, for conspiracy, attempted murder and murder, possibly, and they have not filed charges yet. And these are two completely different investigations. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, from what I understand, they're not going to impact one another, especially because there have not been any charges filed. So something that he put up, Justin Lem again, he said, the investigation just has been taken over. The spokesperson for the Attorney General confirms no charges filed and the office can't comment on the investigation.
Right.
So that was on the 16th. As of today, I haven't seen that they've filed any charges yet either.
No.
A little bit of an update. This last week, too, it was subpoena central.
It's subpoena ganza over the last week. And between the prosecutors and then prosecutors denying requests and then Lori's attorney coming out with more subpoenas. I mean, it has been a shit show of subpoenas. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm putting them in front of me. But yeah, it's been insane. And then something I noticed, so I combed through them again this morning. And maybe it's just I don't look at court documents too frequently, but it seems so sloppy. Like her attorney seems very sloppy to me. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they spelled Tammy's name wrong,
right?
Like I just felt like that's so disrespectful. Maybe I'm taking it too hard, but I feel like they should spell names right. They also spelled, I noticed, I think Melanie's name incorrectly.
Melanie,
as well.
Yep, correct.
Mm-hmm. This week, or last week, I guess, Lori's attorney, Mark Means, subpoenaed the Office of the Attorney General, Fremont County Prosecutor Office, Southwest Airlines Visa / Chase Card Services. I think that they just have that card. U.S. Bancorp Center, or otherwise known as U.S. Bank, and Google for lots of information and records.
They want everything.
They want every little thing possible. You can comb through them. Justin Lum put up all of the subpoenas too. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get specifics, you can, but you know, they're what, 4 or 5 pages each. Basically, so for the Attorney General, they want all records regarding the investigation of Chad Daybell, Lori Daybell, in the conspiracy attempted murder / murder, including Tammy's autopsy. And then that's where they spelled her name T-A-M-I.
Yeah.
And then Fremont County Prosecutor Office is pretty much the same information that they're asking for. At least the list is pretty similar.
And they also spelled Tammy wrong.
They do. Or, I mean, it's Means that wrote it, mm-hmm. I believe. Then the Southwest Air Chase, they want pretty much every record ever of Charles and Lori. They want it from 2016 to present, and they include a list of like pretty much any type of bank record that can possibly be uncovered. They want it.
So most likely they are going to be able to show when Lori stole. Remember when Lori and Charles, before the divorce, how Lori stole what, over $30,000 for him? They're mm-hmm. probably going to find, you know, that they're going yeah. to find her probably buying her wedding dress and ring. Most likely speculative, but
hopefully yeah. not. Yeah. But any, you know, bank accounts, whether it was joint or individual, I believe it just seemed like anything with their name on it, they want.
Yes, correct.
Same thing pretty much for U.S. Bank, 2016 to present for both parties, every single record, teller, you know, anything that they've ever filled out or thought about, they want it.
All video and audio from any teller transaction that has been recorded of them, which is really insane. I've actually never really heard of that.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of information. And then Google as well got one. Mm-hmm. And they want all account details for Charles, including emails, calendars, chats, posts, reviews, statements, any account records whatsoever. And then they also list the charles.vallow@gmail.com email, and they say pretty much anything that he could have had.
Man, I wonder if there's going to be a document dump at some point by Lum or East Idaho News where they get some like additional emails from Charles's. Maybe Lori faked some again, or, you know, maybe Charles knew about the affair. I mean, maybe. The amount of stuff that could potentially come out from this is crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. And like, if you want to see every detail on each of them, I recommend reading them. It's a pretty hefty list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm just, you know, giving some examples. And then also, then there was a discovery disclosure that Rob Wood pretty much shut down a lot of the requests.
He certainly did. He was like, no.
Well, some of his verbiage I thought was interesting, too. So like one sentence about the requested autopsy reports. He says the deaths of the above mentioned individuals are irrelevant to the desertion of the minor children who are the subject of the above. So he's pretty much saying that has no relevance.
Right. Well, there's a lot of speculation as far as why Mark Means is attempting to get that information. Mm-hmm. Trying to basically get a head start on the eventual murder case, more Maybe. Or less.
Yeah. And I mean, the discovery disclosure is a bit longer because they list everything that was requested mm-hmm. and then basically like how they're going to go about doing it. Some of it they're saying, you know, is not even completed yet, so it can't be mm-hmm. you know, to my understanding, it's just not complete, so there's no way of having it right now. Yeah. He laid it out for each request essentially and says, you know, whether or not they're going to comply. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and a lot of them he does say the state objects to this request or objects to this request. Mm-hmm. So again, if you want to go through all of them, you certainly can. In addition to that, they do, number 4 states that they may call any of the following at a trial, preliminary hearing, grand jury hearing, or any other hearing in this matter. And there's a big list of people.
A very large list of people. Up to mm-hmm. and including, we have Rexburg Law Enforcement from the Rexburg mm-hmm. Police Department. We have Kauai, right? Mm-hmm. Police Department members. We have FBI agents. We also have Gilbert Police Department, Chandler, Arizona Police Department. And then a lot of people from the cast of characters who we've previously discussed. So we have Melanie Gibb, the Woodcocks, and then Lori's brothers, Adam and Zach. And then we have Melanie Pawlowski, previously Boudreaux. We have her ex-husband.
Spelled wrong.
Spelled wrong yet again. And then we have Brandon Boudreaux, Melanie's ex-husband that likely Alex attempted to kill. And we have Ian Pawlowski. And then we have Leah Bernard and Seth Bernard. And are those, do they intend mean Daybell with those?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what I had written down because I'm pretty sure those are his kids' names.
They are. That is correct.
I don't know if Leah got married maybe and then they just, you know, continued the last name accidentally. I don't know. Oh, yeah, because Seth Daybell is one of Chad's sons. I guess there definitely could be another set of them. I don't know.
I do not understand. But then we also have Yellowstone National Park, likely, right? So there are two people, SAC Chris Smith and Deputy Chief Ranger Chris Flesh, and they're listed both as National Park Service. So I wonder if those are Yellowstone Rangers, right? And officers.
That was my guess.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. That's immediately what I think of. And then we have a series of FBI agents, a Social Security investigator, which piqued my interest because, as we know, it's under scrutiny that Lori potentially illegally utilized the children's Social Security benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Chad's parents are listed on here. Colby's on here.
Jason Gwilliam, who is Tammy Daybell's brother.
And then it looks like there's teachers, elementary school principals, mm-hmm. people from the school district, doctors. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people.
Yes. And a lot of people who can provide really good intel on the state of JJ, his medications, Tylee, you know, the family's relationships. I mean, I'd say that almost all bases are covered in this discovery request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was dated April 20th. And then as of yesterday, on April 21st, there was another subpoena. So Means filed another subpoena, and it was from Madison County Sheriff's Department. He was requesting records regarding Lori and wants everything, like anything to do with Lori while she's been in jail. Communications, photos, videos, every single type of record. And then he's also looking for records of the employees.
Like work schedules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a list of their names, a detailed list of all of their information as well. So people are saying because they want a list of all the people that come in contact with her or possibly could have heard that like recording possibly. I don't know.
I feel like they're going to milk that accidental recording like to death.
I mean, I don't want to side with them at all, but that was a no-no for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't care for her, obviously, but I mean, that was her right. But still, like, I understand how the mistake happened, and it was for, you know, safety measures and all of that, just trying to make sure everyone stays safe. But it was a pretty big mistake.
Yeah, it was.
So I don't know if maybe it's people that would have heard it. I truly don't know. I'm sure I'm missing something in that sense. So yeah, full name, employee badge number, identification, employee number of the persons employed associated with the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So lots and lots of information. And I wonder if that'll be shut down or if that'll be given.
I don't know. Who knows?
So, and that came out 3 hours ago, but it looks like it was signed on the 21st.
So anything else big from the last week?
Not as of this moment, but you know, like I said, in a couple hours, there could be more. I truly think it might slow down again until probably around the 1st, like maybe a couple days leading up to the 1st. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's my guess.
I can concur with that. I think we're going to see a lot of movement in May.
I hope so. I don't know what happened. I don't understand where they are. But just now thinking about it, it's been since September. And, you know, every time the month changes, you're like, oh, my gosh, it's going on, you know, even longer.
It's sad. But this is the weekly update that we have for you guys. As I said earlier and in our previous episode, we're going to attempt to really kind of flesh out our YouTube videos and include some of the documents there as well. So stay up to date on our YouTube if you're listening on via podcast. We also publish, people may not even know, we publish all of our episodes up on YouTube as well.
We do.
So it's not, you know, we don't include really anything other than the sound file, but we're going to start making YouTube videos.
Attempting.
Yes.
And the cool thing about YouTube is it allows you guys to comment while you're listening and then kind of have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are involved in that conversation. So we have some of our followers that comment. We, of course, look at them as well. So if you want to be able to discuss the episodes a little bit more, by all means, follow us on YouTube. And then also our Patreon, we have a private Patreon group, Facebook group, where, again, you patrons can ask questions and we're happy to answer, you know, what we know.
Yep. And we are looking for the next case to cover after the East Area Rapist too. So if you have a very strong emotion and feeling for a case that you would like us to cover, feel free to hop over to Patreon, become a patron, and you can help us choose. But that about wraps it up for today's update.
Fallow update number 5 million.
Yeah. And again, if, you know, it's 5:30 now p.m. on Wednesday, April 22nd, if Justin Lum drops something a minute after we stop, I'm sorry, guys. We'll cover it on the next one.
Yes. All right. And yeah, thanks again for everyone that reaches out. We love hearing and thanks again for everyone who reaches out. We love looking at your comments and, you know, interacting with everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, anything, you can email us at wesawthedevil@gmail.com. That wraps it up, guys. Until next crime.